Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung.
Luxury or shabby chic?
Oh, tough choice. Luxury.
How come?
Oh, shabby chic, I think, is done to death. And luxury never dies. And luxury can be shabby chic. Or the new luxury, as we call it now, I think the new luxury is definitely more casual than the old luxury. But I think luxury in some form is always going to be around.
Analog or digital?
Digital is the future. Look at us now doing this podcast. I think that's the way of the future. Although hotels are always going to be a people business. But I think aided by digital, that's the future.
Europe or Australia?
Oh, my God. That's also a tough one. Europe at the moment.
The Australian hotel group Adina, which is expanding in Europe, has celebrated 6 hotel openings in the last 2 years. And all this between long lockdowns and a renewed longing to travel by its customers. Time to pause and reflect on the past few months, but also to look ahead to what the Aussie way has to offer for the future. In today's podcast, we, Katharina Patrice Varga and Nicole Heppner, talk to Mary Noonan, Director Design and Projects, Adina Europe, about what makes a hotel more than just a place to spend the night.
Hello and welcome to our Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here. It's actually perfect to have time to take a break and look back. What have we achieved and how are we going to move forward? This is a good opportunity for me to sort of think about the way that we want to move forward after the for us, 6 new openings is a lot. How we move forward to the next new opening. So they're coming fast. Geneva opening in March next year, which is from a construction and design point of view, like tomorrow.
Yeah, we're actually starting a time where we not only look in the future, but we also have a view in the past. So, you know, to mix the both of them and how to move on. And we want to dive right in. We talked about 6 openings in 2 years. How do you really feel? Do you feel empty, exhausted, or full of verve with lots of new ideas about how to do even better?
Our last opening was a couple of months ago now, so we've had a little bit of time to do lessons learned and look at how we could do things better. And the hotels are finally, they're full up. We're booked out in a lot of hotels, which is fantastic. Finally, the guests are back and there's been a point for building these hotels. I think during Corona, it was like, oh my God, we're building these hotels. We've got no guests. That I think is a bit unmotivating, but it really is tough. I think if you don't feel like you have any guests, because at the end of the day, as much as I love architecture and interior design, we're building the hotels for guests. And if there's no guests, that's a real downer. So it's wonderful at the moment that our hotels are sometimes having 100% occupancy. So that is really motivating and really helping us work on the 2 projects that were under construction or in the planning phase at the moment to be more optimistic about the future, I think.
Okay, let's take a step back for those listeners who've seen the Adina brand but haven't had a chance to stay in one of your hotels. What constitutes a classic location and service offering for an Adina hotel?
Adina's part of the city that they're in. So they're always centrally located city hotels. I'm really lucky with my job. I travel around mainly in Germany on the Deutsche Bahn. And I always have a really short walk from the main station to our construction site or when my job's finished to the hotel. I think that's one thing the guests can appreciate, the great locations of the hotels. In Dusseldorf, the hotel is like 100 meters from Hauptbahnhof in Dusseldorf. That's the closest we've ever been. They're all really close and centrally located, so that's important. I say we're a hotel plus. We have all the amenities that you could experience at home. Each room has a washing machine, a dryer, kitchen with a dishwasher, cooktop, not just a microwave. We have a full oven with a microwave function extra and a fridge. They're all German brand appliances in there. And as well as that, we always have somewhere where you can sit. You cook your meal or make your muesli in the morning, have a beer at night. You've got somewhere to sit down and enjoy that. We always have a comfortable place to sit, a sofa or a cozy corner, and always have somewhere comfortable for you to work as well. So that's in the room. But in the public areas, we have great wellness areas. All of our hotels have a swimming pool. All of our hotels have a great gym fitted out with the top of the range techno gym from Italy, gym equipment. And we always have a bar and restaurant and breakfast area. So it's like a hotel plus the amenities from home. I find when I stay there, especially in this hot weather, next week I'm on the road for a week and I'm staying for two nights in a Medina. So I know, okay, I can wash my blouse or my dress that's maybe got a bit hot and sweaty from the day on the construction site. I'm staying the next night in a Medina. I can wash and dry my clothes and I don't have to have so much in my little carry-on suitcase that I slip around. I think that's really helpful for business travelers. And what we've discovered is that people who use our gyms, there's nothing worse than putting your smelly gym gear back in your suitcase. The washing machine is very popular for that sort of use, even though you can wash it at home, but you don't want to slip around your gym gear that's sweaty and smelly for the rest of the week in your bag. And then I think for families, having also that sort of kitchen facility is really good. Children in a hotel always want to have breakfast at a time that maybe no one else wants to have breakfast. So having the facility in the room so you can give the children something to eat when they want to eat rather than when the hotel breakfast is open is really practical. So they're the, I suppose, the big pluses for the guests by Adina. For me and in my job as director of design, we want to be a modern, classic style, I think is what we'd say. We're cozy, but we want to be a bit better than home, a bit more stylish than home. And I think our aesthetic feels like home, but it's more modern and more stylish. That's our goal.
But isn't it a bit difficult at this time? Six openings, and usually you're able to test things or get feedback from guests and have time to adapt or change things entirely for upcoming locations. But that is not possible if you have simultaneous openings or even a lockdown. So would you still do something differently when it comes to the next project?
Aesthetically, you always move on. Like I've just come from Milan last week, Design Week, which was absolutely fantastic and great just to get all the inspirations and see all the colors and the finishes. And just being in Milan, it's such a cool city. And I think each building should be of its time. So when you're building, designing new projects, of course you want to move forward with new colors, new finishes. And we would never just do, you know, the same color scheme for a new hotel. So the two hotels that we're planning at the moment look totally different to the Adinas that we've just opened in terms of color palettes and look and feel. I think the thread of Adina still runs through them. Geneva, the architects or the interior designers were influenced by Le Corbusier and the off-form concrete that you see a lot in Geneva. The Swiss architecture is really quite different to Germany, which I just find it fascinating being as an Australian from a country that's really big but much more homogenous than in Europe where Switzerland and Germany are so close but they're so different. After 30 years in Europe, I still find that really fascinating. And our interior designers for the Geneva project, SJB Interior Design from Australia, they were also really influenced by the history of Swiss modernism. And that comes through in the design of the rooms and the public spaces. There's travertine bathrooms, there's timber floors in Geneva. There's quite different colors to what we've had in, say, the Munich Hotel. The rooms have a cappuccino, really warm beiges and creams and coffee colors, color palette, which is really welcoming. The rooms in Geneva, I've spent a lot of time in the mock-up rooms, are also really welcoming, but just a bit of a slightly newer color palette, reflecting that the hotel is opening 2 years later than the other ones. Time moves forward and design moves forward, but some things don't change. In Milan, for me, it was interesting to see that about half the kitchens I saw all had a Carrara marble benchtop. This material that people have been using, Michelangelo made all these statues out of it. So you can be modern and still use classic palettes, as I suppose we say. We want our designs to last. I think these days you really can't have throwaway design. It's definitely never been our approach. Definitely always bought quality and want designs to last. But you want to have a little bit of the time that you're in. And I think the design of the Geneva Hotel reflects that. And Vienna,
as one of your highlight projects, Vienna?
The second hotel in Vienna. That's a high-rise building right on the Danube, and that's going to be amazing. The architecture is really cool. I think maybe people don't understand that as a hotel designer, we really often don't have much input onto the design of the architecture of the building. For me, it's always really a goal that the interior and the exterior have something to do with each other. I think that's the most successful part of a building. If the interior clashes with the exterior, I think things don't work. And that's really important to us. And we're lucky that we're working with some wonderful architects on some of our buildings, some great exteriors, and we try and do great interiors to fit into them. The most successful ones are when the inside and outside do have something to do with each other. I think we were really lucky in our hotel in Munich, which is a very dramatic tower designed by Steidler architect, very well-known architects in the Munich scene. We worked really closely with them together so that, for me, the highest praise was when the architecture team who've been working on together with that project since 2014, and the hotel opened last year, so it was a really long process. We had an opening party a couple of months ago, and they said to me, "Oh, I love the rooms. They have quite a different aesthetic to us. They're not used to doing hotels. They're really in German Hochbau architecting." Classical architects, I'd say, in the tradition of Mies van der Rohe. And the building, I would say it's a classical modern building in that tradition. And they like our interiors. It was really a pat on the back. It was like, okay, job done.
You're creating certain atmospheres and you arouse emotion, you seduce. But how do you manage not to forget the user orientation? And what role does material and surfaces play in this?
There's always a balance in terms of sort of surfaces. We want to seduce, as you said, seduce the guest, seduce the user in the room. On the other hand, we don't want to drive our operations colleagues crazy by having materials that can't be cleaned. So it's always a balance. And I think that's in all aspects of construction, finding materials that transport the emotions that we're trying to transport, but still being practical. We've had lots of experience with this, and we've done a few stuff-ups. That's life. Because we have the kitchens in the rooms, we have this sort of comment in our team, curry-proof carpet. Because a lot of guests from Asian countries think, oh, in Germany you can't get a decent curry. So they make it themselves when they're staying in a hotel. And these foods which taste good, but they have quite strong colors. So we really try and have finishes that you don't see the red wine stain on the carpet, that the design of the carpet is such that, of course, it's clean, but that a stain might not be that obvious. The chairs in the rooms at the dining table, we have the chairs in leather or timber so that they're easy to clean, so that you don't have a fabric that can get stained by fatty fingers that are just kids eating the pizza or whatever. So that's sort of the practicalities. And to come back to the Carrera marble, we use it still with stone finish on our kitchen benchtops. Stone is a granite or a reconstituted stone. It's really indestructible. We're refurbishing hotels now that are 12 years old. The kitchens are still in perfect condition because 12 years ago, 13 years ago, my predecessors made the right decisions about finishes. Maybe we want to give them a color upgrade, but some of the finishes still look great and can stay. Horizontal surfaces, we really try and make indestructible.
Yeah, and always have the quality in mind.
That's why you can't do a purple kitchen bench top, because after 3 years, no one's really going to want to see purple, I'd say. So that's where the sort of classic colors come in and those sort of very durable finishes. What we find sometimes is that when things have to be replaced, fabrics are no longer produced or so forth. That can sometimes be a problem, but then we have to adapt and pick something that's contrast as a replacement. In terms of the public areas, I always remember a project I worked on in Sydney many, many years ago, the casino in Sydney, and the team from the casino hotel, the casino was open 24/7 every day. They're like, we need really durable chairs and, you know, we could make them out of stainless steel. And I'm like, yeah, but no one is going to want to sit in your restaurant and spend any money on a stainless steel chair. The CEO was saying to us, our brief was, we want to increase, make it more attractive to people come and spend time in our bars and our restaurants, and we're like, oh, we need to do some velvets. It was a very hard interior and we were going to change it. But the operating team were like, oh, the chairs, we can't have them falling apart. They have to be out of stainless steel. So it's about sort of getting that mix between having an interior that people want to spend time in, that's comfortable and cozy and inviting, and the durability. And there's always a bit of a trade-off. And I think we've got great operations teams and they understand both sides. I think it's about, you know, working together to get the best possible outcome. And that's what we do a lot with our teams. We have lots of lessons learned sessions with the house technica in the hotels, with the hotel managers, with the restaurant managers, what works and what doesn't work for you guys. And they say, this doesn't work. And I said, yeah, but if we do it another way, you can have no guests. So how do we find a compromise? That's a problem that all interiors that aren't domestic interiors or commercial interiors, that's something people think about, especially hospitality.
Mary, in our pre-talk, we were also talking about light. So you said that an ugly room can be transformed into something fantastic using lights. So it's completely my opinion. My past is light too. I worked in light a long time, so I really know what you mean. But why don't you describe to our listeners what you mean saying that light is so important and what role does it play?
The perfect example is going up in lifts. There's very few lifts that you don't look ugly in because the light in the lift is just so blue and so harsh because allegedly it has to comply with safety regulations. So the lights in the elevators are just really, really terrible. And then you enter a space that has beautiful soft lighting, lighting that's appropriate for the use and appropriate for the time of the day. And suddenly everyone looks beautiful and you feel good. I'm forever grateful for people who managed to get the lift lighting right. It's something I must put my hand up. We're still working on, fighting with the engineers on that one. I once stayed in a hotel that was really uncool and really undesigned, but I think they must have had a great lighting designer. And the interior was from the 80s. It was not fashionable in any way, but they had someone who'd come through and put in really great wall lighting and lamps, and they had all the lighting really dim and cozy. It was a little family-run hotel in South Tyrol in Italy. And forever, when we were there for 4 days, I drove my husband mad trying to find out how did they manage to achieve this. And they just managed to have a really warm golden glow all the time. Indirect lighting, so you weren't being directly light shining on your face. Really subtle lighting, enough light that you could read the menu, but only just. Sometimes I know I find with some of my family and friends who are getting older, maybe then the waiter has to bring an extra light for the menu to be read, but that's also okay, I think. It's about also, I think, contrast of light and shade. Everything is lit to the same dim level. That's also not an interesting or an enjoyable space to be in. I think it's a space to work in if you want to work in a laboratory, but it's not a good space to be in. What sometimes is difficult is getting the lighting right so that our staff who work at, say, reception or who work behind the bar or who work in a kitchen that might be open, that they have enough light to work by, that they can do their job properly and safely, but that light doesn't affect the guest and doesn't make the space feel like a laboratory or a factory. So a mix of different lighting types with spotlights, with table lamps, with standing lamps, I think lots of different light sources, all dimmed quite low, is the key with some light and some mix of light and dark. You need some shadows so the light works.
We talked about materials, we talked about surfaces, and we talked about light. But what about technology and digital tools? How smart does a hotel really need to be?
Can I say something more about light first?
For sure.
We have worked with all the projects that I've been involved in at Adina with Martin Weiser, who's our lighting designer from Cologne. And he's absolutely fantastic and can express all of this much, much more eloquently than I can. He is really great and works together with us, with the interior designers, in getting the atmosphere that we want to create. and understands also all the operational issues involved. But and that, I suppose, goes over into the technology theme, because the lighting controls in the public spaces and in the guest rooms are two really important aspects of technology. If you get them wrong, I think it's very difficult to have inviting spaces and have spaces where the guests feel comfortable. So in the public areas, lighting is all DALI-based, so we can control each light fitting individually to create the atmosphere that we want to create. And we have different settings, so the lights are different in the morning, at breakfast time, to during the day, to early evening, late evening, and then we have a special bar atmosphere where everything's really dark and especially cozy. But in the guest rooms, we don't want to do that. We think that's far too complicated for the guest. Our goal is to have really simple, understandable lighting control in the room so that there's not too many choices and it's not too confusing to the guest. Because even though we want to be the home away from home and we offer everything in the room that the guests can spend a long time, 6 months in the room, most guests, the average stay is 2 or 3 days. So they don't have time to understand how a complicated lighting system works. We try and have it very intuitive, that the light switch is next to where the light is, that it's logical. And it's actually quite difficult to do it logically. We have a standard scenery for the lights and standard settings for the lights, but that can be changed via technology later without having to rewire. So that's a really important aspect of technology. If we do get it wrong, if we stuff up, we can say, no, this light has to go on with the welcome light scenery or so forth. So there can be changes made at a later date. And I think that's a wonderful thing about technology from the more operational point of view. I think technology for the guest, online check-in, automatic check-ins with your phones, where very close for that to happen. I think some hotels are doing it already, not very many, but we're definitely on the way. And I think that's the way of the future. What guests want? Guests definitely want the contact with the team, the hosts in the hotel. But I think what is frustrating is if you come to a hotel and there's a long queue to check in, that you have got a digital option to bypass the queue. Oh, I can do it on my phone. And then I can speak to the staff later in the evening when I go and have my drink or when I need a tip for what restaurant to go to. I don't need to have the interaction directly at check-in with the staff. And I think there's going to be a huge leap, and that will be the way in, I'm not a technology expert, but I'd say in 5 years that will be how all hotels do it, except for perhaps very small hotels.
Smart, but easy.
I did have a key recently. I've been traveling a bit the last couple of weeks. We don't actually have a physical key at a hotel. Not a card, but a key.
It feels strange enough, right?
Yeah, it was an old palazzo in Como, and they had a physical key, which is really unusual these days. It suited the hotel. I think the hotel had like 10 rooms, and it was a converted palazzo. Because it had the low-tech key, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to sort of crawl on the floor in the bottom of the bathroom to find the PowerPoint to charge my iPad with. We've all had these experiences in sort of quaint, old-fashioned hotels, and that was not the case. The key and the technology in the room were quite different, and they had a USB right next to the bed, which was great too, actually. And they had next to the little old-fashioned antique table, they also had power, and it was really quite high-tech and low-tech mix. It was quite interesting. I suppose they must have realized we can't do without it these days. Guests expect it, even though we still have the old-fashioned key on the chain that you give to the receptionist when you leave.
Yeah, which makes it smart, but still easy to use.
Yeah, definitely. I was very happy I didn't have to crawl underneath the bed to find a power for my phone.
Mary, for your job, you need a lot of inspiration. And for the people who know you, and maybe our listeners who don't know you yet, to describe you in a few words, you are full of power and energy, and you smile a lot. I see you smiling a lot every time I meet you. What are your strategies to find ideas and initiate processes?
I think I'm much more impulsive. I drive my team mad when I'm on holidays or traveling around, I'm always sending them photos. Chase up this, look at this. This is something I've found. I love to stay in other hotels. I really see that as part of my job to check the opposition out. And I'm always sending them my team. Look, I saw this here in London. I saw this in Milan. And my husband complains that I spend all my wages on staying in other hotels. So doing free research for my company. But I'm so lucky to work for a hotel company because I think hotels are just my love. I didn't realize until I did my first hotel as an architect that that's what I really wanted to do. I think I was lucky to find what I love doing. And some people don't discover what they love. Even before I worked in the hotel industry, I was always taking lots of photos from hotels we stayed in. It was always something that I really enjoyed. So I find, I suppose, practical inspiration from how other hotel companies, other hotels do stuff. And I've always got my little tape measure, taking measurements. Ah, this is a new way to do it. Oh, the room's quite small, but it feels big. I suppose that's always, for us, the tactic. How do we make our rooms feel as generous as possible for our guests? So I look at how other people, other hotels do it successfully and unsuccessfully. And then I suppose for colors and finishes and accessories, we buy and source ourselves everything that goes into the hotel from the really boring, well, not boring, like all the Wi-Fi we purchase as well. So that's not boring, it's essential, but it's something you sort of can't, the access points and things, it's hard to put your finger on. We have a great IT team who work for us, who help us there. So the IT always works, which is wonderful. So I'm forever grateful for that, for the team to take on that sort of stuff that is not my passion. It's my passion when it doesn't work. The inspiration about things like colors and finishes is also something I see when I'm traveling around. I think there's cities that are really inspiring. I find when I'm home in Australia, I come from Melbourne, which I'd say is like the foodie capital of the world. There's so much exciting stuff happening there. Often when we're here in Germany, we go to a coffee shop and Tom, my husband, will say, oh, that's like we had in Melbourne 10 years ago, this place. For a European, that's sort of hard to believe, but Australians, they just love Europe. For some years, Australia had a bit of a chip on its shoulder about not being as good as Europe, but I think in terms of design and in terms of hospitality, Australia is really sort of at the top of the game. And I find it inspiring to see what's happening in my hometown when I'm there. And I was home at Christmas, get around to different locations, new hotels, new restaurants, ask my friends and family what's cool, what's new. And it's really just amazing what's happening there. And also trade fairs. That's why Corona was just so, oh my God, you couldn't go anywhere. Everything was cancelled. And it's just so exciting now. It was great being in Milan last week. We traveled on to the south of France for a couple of days. And seeing new things at the fair, I'm looking forward to. There's lots of invitations coming around at the moment in the next month. It's hard to actually fit everything in.
Have you seen our installation in Milan, the Jung installation?
No, I didn't. My feet gave out.
Oh, no. It was so nice. You would have loved it. Full of color.
There was so much happening, and I was so happy to see that the city was full and so many people. I saw your installation online. Because I was combining work and pleasure, I had a co-traveler who was saying, you can't have a second day.
That's unfair.
The holiday was booked a long time before Milan dates changed due to Corona. I had cleared April for Milan and then it moved to June. So next year is back in April.
Talking about Americans and Australia, I'm Austrian and there's this really funny connection. I was asked so many times when I say I come from Austria, is that close to Australia?
Yeah.
Right? So there's this kind of confusion between Austria and Australia. And actually, there are souvenirs for guests in Vienna, like fridge magnets, t-shirts, caps, saying no kangaroos in Austria.
And we have these fridge magnets in our hotel.
Really?
We have this funny access panel, like a switchboard cover in some of the rooms in Edina, Vienna, Belvedere. it's made of metal.
Yeah, it's like a traffic sign, a yellow traffic sign.
And then we put the magnets on this thing to cover them up. We're an Australian hotel. We're in Austria. It's something we really play on.
Innovative new concepts are really in demand. So let's dare to take a look into the famous crystal ball. Where will we be in 5 or 10 years? So we just have to go to Melbourne, you said, and then we see what's happening. But what do you think about the future?
I think check-in via smartphone will be probably in most modern hotels by that stage. Guests will want to use it and be used to using it. In London, I stayed in the Standard Hotel and they have some rooms without windows. The room was great, very high quality. So I think there may be some, especially in cities like London that are really expensive, there are a few brands that have rooms without windows in London. I think that might be spreading. I arrived in London at 10 o'clock at night and I checked out of the hotel at 8 o'clock the next morning.
You didn't really need a window.
I wanted to take lots of photos of the room because I thought it was really interesting. And I got there and thought, oh, I'll take some photos in the morning when the light is better. And then, oh, okay, the light's not going to get better in the morning. Okay, I'll take the photos now. There's going to be no natural light in the morning. But it was really cleverly done, the room. So I think that's something that will come more, something we're also investigating a little bit with perhaps another brand. I think the hotel will continue to be an important part of the city. For me, hotels are part of the public realm of the city. I use hotels a lot because I travel a lot for work and I don't have offices in every city. I use hotel lobbies as meeting spaces. I think hotel lobbies have actually always been co-working spaces. And I think that will become more and more formalized in a way. I think that will be a trend, that there's more working spaces in hotel lobbies. Hotels open up even more to the cities they're in. That will be a trend. I think there will be a trend to more coziness from a design point of view. I think that's something that I thought would happen. I was talking to our CEO before I went to Milan. He said, what do you think will be there? And I said, oh, I think there'll be more timber and more brown and earthy colors, or I think that will continue that trend. And that was definitely the case. People want sort of coziness and hominess. So I think that will be, from a design point of view, continue to happen over the next 5 years. Maybe in 5 years, we're ready for another trend. And who knows what's happening with the things like the war in Europe, etc. There's always lots of surprises around the corner, but I'm an optimist and I think things will get better and things will always improve. People will always travel. I think travel is coming back. That's, for me, so reassuring, traveling, yes, in the last couple of weeks, seeing international guests in Europe again. People have a desire to see new things and that will always be there. Perhaps with more flexibility, with more, I suppose, new luxury. We've all now got the luxury to work from home some days, to work in the office some days. I think through COVID, suits and more formal attire have really been sort of thrown out the window. In the Western world, who have office jobs, have a lot of luxury and freedom in our lives already. But I think that will continue, the flexibility and the more sort of casual lifestyle, which is something that Australia does really well. Casual luxury.
Mary, we have one last question. Do you have a hotel insider tip we should definitely stay?
I do think that the windowless rooms in the Standard are something great to see. I think from Adina, I love all of our hotels and they all have something different. I think Adina Leipzig is a great place to stay. It's a hotel in the middle of a historic town of Leipzig. It's in this cult 60s East German office block converted into an Adina. It's really quite a lovely building. It was a real challenge to convert an office building to an Adina, but I think it's really successful.
That is a heavenly way of ending our podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your time and thoughts with us. We look forward to sharing our upcoming Jung Architecture Talks podcast with you. Stay tuned on jung.de/podcast.